In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel of the Lord came to Mary. And he called Mary, "Blessed art thou among women." And he said she was highly favored. It was a blessing on Mary. And then Elizabeth, in Luke chapter 1, on down in verse 42, when Elizabeth, her cousin, saw her, it says that she spoke in the Holy Spirit and said, "Blessed art thou among women." Twice she was called, "Blessed art thou among women." And she was called highly favored. Why was she called blessed? Why was she called blessed? Why was she given this honor and this name? It was because she was going to be the mother of Jesus. We also, at this time of year, we have a little song we sing about the little town of Bethlehem. And we give honor to the Bethlehem for being the birthplace of Jesus. We give it honor. Why? Because it was the birthplace of Jesus. This morning we want to realize that we have been given honor by being given Jesus. You know, as we look at Bethlehem now, it had a long history with the Jews as being a special place. Rachel was buried there after she died there, delivering Benjamin, the last son of Israel, or Jacob, whose name was Israel, the last son there. There she was died and was buried in this town, Bethlehem. And also, Bethlehem has other significance. If you read through the Christmas story, it says that, you know, unto us a child is born in the city of David. The city of Bethlehem. It's called the city of David because it was David's hometown. You could read in Samuel 16 where Samuel was sent to anoint the new king, and it says he went to Bethlehem, to Jesse's house. It's the hometown of David. But also it was known to the Jews to be prophesied that it was the birthplace of the Messiah. Bethlehem, like Mary, was now, it was considered a blessed place. A place with honor. And it was known by the Jews that that's where the Messiah was to be born. If you remember the story, when the wise men came and Herod wanted to know where it was they were going when they were going to give these gifts to the new Christ child. Matthew chapter 25, verse 5, it says, "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule my people Israel." We see Bethlehem, it was a place of honor because of this. We see the honor being given to Bethlehem, like we saw the honor being given to Mary, because Christ was going to come from Mary. Christ was going to come from Bethlehem. As we look at this, we're talking about the prophecy about Bethlehem, that actually was from Micah. Micah chapter 5. You could turn and read this little verse there if you want to. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says something that says real similar to the way that it was quoted in Matthew from the wise man. Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little amongst the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." The prophecies of Micah were not always easy to understand what they were talking about, but the Jews knew this prophecy was saying the Messiah would be born there. They recognized two indicators of the Messiah in this verse. First, he was to be ruler. It says, come forth, the ruler of Israel, but then also it says, whose going forth have been two indicators of the Messiah, the ruler, and this from old or from everlasting would indicate God. We see something similar in Isaiah, where it speaks of the Messiah. Isaiah 9, we see the same two indicators in Isaiah 9 and 6. He says, "For unto us is born, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So we see these same two indicators in Isaiah, and we know that to be referring to the Messiah. The indicators were that the government would be upon his shoulders. He would be like a ruler. He would be the lawgiver. He gave us a new law. And also we see indicators that he was God. His name is called Wonderful Counselor, but then the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And those two indicators, the Messiah. The Jews saw that, and they saw it in Micah. These wise men saw it, but also you will see in other places as we look on through this that it was accepted that he would come from Bethlehem, not just by these wise men. These wise men were very wise to know the times and the season, to know that it was now time and to be guided. God here, he's considered blessed city of Bethlehem. Considered blessed. So we see the honor of the city. And when Jesus came, he did come from this place. He was born in Bethlehem, as the Jews had understood the prophecy to say. He was. But Jesus was not known by this honor. Jesus did not come as had been expected by the Jews. Someone of majesty and of honor. Someone of great esteem. But instead, he was not called Jesus of Bethlehem. Instead, he was called Jesus of Nazareth. As Randy was singing a song this morning, he said that we didn't see the cottage home in that despised Nazareth. Nazareth was not a place like Bethlehem that was esteemed. Not a place of honor. But this is what Jesus was known for. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth. But as we see this misunderstanding, how that they misunderstood the nature of his coming. And I think this, that he was born in Bethlehem, but he actually was known to come from Nazareth, speaks to that misunderstanding that the Jews had. They didn't understand. They didn't recognize him, we would say. In Acts chapter 13, it says that they knew him not when he came. The Jews, those that dwelt in Jerusalem, and their rulers, they didn't know him. They didn't realize that he was the Messiah. Because they misunderstood this nature of humbleness that he would have. They didn't expect the humility. It says this in Acts 13, starting reading with verse 26. It says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." And verse 27 says, "For they that dwelt in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him." They knew him not. When Jesus came, they didn't recognize him because they wanted something grand. They didn't recognize him because they were looking for someone who would come with pomp and ceremony. Something grand. They ignored the prophecy about his humility. As they looked in Isaiah 9, where we were looking before about how he was going to be the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, They saw that in Isaiah 9, but they missed Isaiah 53, where he described more of the humility of the nature of Christ. Where it says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, where he suffered, where he was led as a sheep to slaughter. They missed all of the humility in that because they were looking for the grandeur. And they missed Christ because of that. They missed the Messiah because they didn't understand and they weren't open to the will of God. But they were looking for something grand. And we can do the same thing today. We can miss God's calling for us because of the same reason. Because we weren't looking for something like that. We wanted something grand. We were looking for something bigger. Something that was going to look pretty to us. Something grand and pomp and glorious in our eyes. But what we need to look for is what is glorious in His eyes. Sometimes we may already have a plan of what we want God to send us to do. We have a plan of ourselves of what we want God to call us to do. We'll say, God, You can call me to do this. God, You can call on me, call me to do this, and I will give You the glory and say it was Your idea. Well, you know, God doesn't need us to help Him with ideas. He doesn't need us to come up with a plan for Him. God has a plan for each of us, and it's our job to trust and obey. That's our job, not to come up with a plan, but to trust and to obey what God's plan is for us. Just like Christ did, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. That's what the Bible says of Christ. Though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. He obeyed. He trusted God and obeyed the plan about us. What would we do if that was God's plan for us? If this was God's calling for us, like what He called Christ to do, to come and to give up glory, and to come and be born as a person. The Bible says, a little below the angels. He came a little below the angels because He suffered death as a man does. That's what God called Him to do. That's what Christ's calling was. How about us? Would we obey? Would we obey Christ's calling? Or would we wait? Look for a better calling. Look for a better plan. God, I think we can come up with something better than this. But Jesus humbled Himself to become a man. To become known as Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus of Bethany. Not Jesus of Bethlehem or even Jesus of Jerusalem. You know, if He was going to come to be a man and be put down below the angels, Jerusalem, He might say, that might be our idea. Jerusalem might be better. Lord, let me come from Jerusalem. They will accept me more there. Nazareth. Why Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth. And this is what He was called in the Bible many times. I did a search on it. It looked like around 20 times He's called Jesus of Nazareth. Let's look at this in John chapter 7 is where what He's called here as they talked about Jesus and who He might be. How that He was supposed to come from David and out of the town of Bethlehem. John chapter 7, looking at verse 40. We'll see how that the people received Him there after hearing His teachings and His sayings. He said, John 7 and verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said, Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? See, they were expecting Him from Bethlehem. They were not expecting Him from this Nazareth of Galilee. Galilee? That's where Jesus came from. That's where This region of Galilee is where most of his disciples came from. And also remember Nathanael? When Philip saw Jesus and he went and got Nathanael, and he said unto called Nathanael, and Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" You can see that in John 1 and 46 if you want to look at it, but we know of this calling. Philip went to tell Nathanael immediately, but Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see." And this morning, this is the question I want to ask us. Question I want us to consider. Can any good thing come out of us? Nazareth? Jesus come from Nazareth? Can Jesus come from us? Can any good thing come out of us? This can give us hope as we think about Nazareth. It doesn't matter what others might think of us. They might call us a good-for-nothing. Expression we use in the South, a good-for-nothing. But can any good thing come out of you? The question is given. The answer is yes. Can any good thing come out of you? Yes. God can use you. He can use you, though you might have a past. He can use you. He can forgive you. He can change you. And let's start looking at how He can use us. Let's start looking at how we could be like Nazareth and be called. And we could be that Christ could come from us. Or be called blessed like Mary. That Christ could come from us. Isaiah 57 and 15 says, "For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high places and holy places." And then what does he say? He says, "With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, and revive the spirit of the humble, and revive the heart of the contrite ones." God said that he dwelt in high places, but also with the lowly, the humble of spirit, contrite. Though we be little like Bethlehem, though we be despised like Nazareth, a great thing can come from us. A great thing can come from us. Christ can dwell in you. Christ can come from you to the world. Christ can dwell in you. Jesus said when he was in John chapter 6, when Jesus was there doing the supper, he said, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him." Speaking of that supper there, but he says the thing that we want to notice is he said that we would dwell in him, but he would dwell in us. He would dwell in us. Many places in the Bible, Christ promises to dwell in us, to abide with us. We see that in many places, dwell in us and abide in us. Christ can come from you. Yes, something great can come from you. Christ can come from you, just like he could come from Nazareth. And we can live, and people can see the Jesus of you. Though they might be expecting the Jesus of Bethlehem, or the Jesus of Jerusalem, they can see the Jesus of you. The Jesus that comes from you. John 15, where Jesus talks about gives them the parable of the vine and of the branches. He says that he is the vine, ye are the branches, speaking to his disciples that were following him there. But he says, "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." If we're his branches and he's our vine, then we abide on the vine. He abides in us, and we can bring forth much fruit. If Christ abides in you, you will bring forth much fruit. But without Christ, you can do nothing. All of our accomplishments, all of the things that we might think we can do and that we can do something, we are accomplishing something, but without Christ, it is nothing. What comes from you? what comes from you now? What are your fruits? Christ says that He abides in us, will bear much fruit. What is our fruit? You know, it's amazing to think that God would allow us to bear His fruit. God would use us in bringing forth fruit in this world. It's an humbling thought. It's an amazing thought. Makes me think back to what was told to Mary, how that she was highly favored. She was blessed. God is blessing us, and that He would abide with us and allow us to bring forth His wonderful fruit. Saving souls, shining His love and His light to the world around us. And we can also apply Nathaniel's question to us today. Apply the question to you. What good thing can come from you? What good thing can come from you? And you might be, as Nathaniel was speaking of Nazareth, you might think of yourself that way, I don't know. You might look at yourself and say, What good thing could come from me? A great thing can come from you. Jesus can come from you. Love, the love of God can come from you. In John chapter 4, 1 John 4, we were going to read several verses here, starting with verse 12, to see if the love of God and how it can come from us. When God dwells in us, the love of God will come from us. And this verse can teach us a lot. So let's pay attention as we read through these verses. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 12. It says, "No man hath seen the Father at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Love one another. Well, that's what we wanted, was God dwelling in us, God coming from us. Love one another. Let's continue reading now. Verse 13, he says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. For we have known and believed the love that God hath sent to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." It says, we've known and we believe the love of God that was sent to us. Do you know the love of God that was sent to you? Do you realize the love of God that's sent to you and know it? Then if so, we will love one another. Let's continue reading here. Now we're in verse 17. He says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world." He said we will have the boldness in the day of judgment. We won't be fearful. That's what he's going to go on to now. But because as He is, so are we in this world. We are Christ in this world, is what he's saying. And that gives us that love. And that's because he goes on, we will see how he talks about fear also. He says in verse 18, "Now there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loved God love his brother also. That's what can come from us. Love can come from us. Even the love of God can come from us. What better thing could come from you than the love of God? The love of God is what saves souls. What better thing could come from us? God can use us to bless the world by letting His love flow from us. And when God is in us and lives in us, and when God uses us, we will be different. We will be changed. We turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and there's a couple of verses here that I'm sure we're familiar with, but we'll look at these as he talks about us being used by God, Him dwelling in us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 says that we will be different. We will be separate. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, he says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." We're to be clean so that God can use us. If you're a Christian, you will have Christ in you, and you will live clean. Let God continually cleanse your heart. I'm sure if you think about how the people of that time received this thought about the temple of God having an idol in it. You know, we don't think a lot about temples today, but think back about the Jewish temple. How that it was a very special place. Think about how that the Arabs have their holy ground over there now, and some of the others that you see over there, they have these holy places. They don't want anybody in there that doesn't believe like they do. They don't want anything unclean in there. But that's what he's comparing this to here. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Would you have an idol? Would you have another God sitting up inside the temple of God? But that's what he's comparing it to when we don't have ourselves clean as the temple should be. We don't have ourselves sanctified and separate. It says he's calling us out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Let us realize that we are a temple. We're a temple of God. And that's how a good thing can come from us. And think about that. A temple of God. The temple is the place where God dwells. As we talked about already, a good thing could come from us. Christ could come from us. We're the temple of Him. But think about what a temple is. It's also a place where people meet God. It's also a place where the Word of God is proclaimed from. That's what we're to be. That's the kind of temple that we're to be. Christ dwelling in us. A place where people meet Christ. A place where Christ's teachings would come from. If that's the kind of temple you are. It's the kind of temple that you can be. Though you be despised like Nazareth, you could be the temple of God. People could meet God at you. People could hear His teaching from you. People could know that God dwells in you. You could be a blessing to the world, and you would be blessed. You would be blessed as we saw that Bethlehem is esteemed as blessed, was looked upon as being a blessed place. As we saw the blessing of Mary, you could be blessed. and have Christ come from you. And that's our sermon this morning. Here at Christmas time, you know, we want to realize that if Christ is not in our heart, Christ is not in us, dwelling in us, we're not born in Him as He came to be born into this world, and He's not His Spirit born in us, then we're missing the real celebration. We're missing the real good news of God. The real thing that the angels were singing about. If Christ is not in us, then we're missing it.